Welcome to episode 159 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week we read Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose by Jim Balint. And now, the cast begins.
Hey, Andy, are you going on a honeymoon?
No. We just went to India, and I can't rationalize spending that much money on travel within, like, 6 months.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Yeah. You got a cold or something, bro?
I'm getting over it. I felt like crap the last few days, but now I'm starting to feel better, so.
I'm good. I'm glad.
I'm okay now.
That's
glad
good.
You're getting better.
Thank you.
So it was really crappy when, like, it's actually Christmas and you're sick.
Yeah, like, everybody was sick. But we all seem to be getting over it now.
Cool.
Yeah.
So.
Man.
This was a comic.
Yeah. So some kind of comic.
You guys ready?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, God. This is, what kind of adjective can I use here?
Busty?
Yeah, there you go. Welcome to another extremely overly busty episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
And Jen.
Hello.
And this week, we read Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, issues 1-5.
I like how you couldn't say that without laughing.
written and drawn by Jim Balint, and the colorist. This is like a two-person team, and I cannot remember the name of the other person.
Holly Golightly,
that's right. I knew it was something ridiculous. Holly Golightly doing the colorist and the lettering. So. Tits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you guys get the individuals or the trade?
Individuals.
Okay. So I got the trade. And the trade comes with quote-unquote bonus material. And I think the bonus material is a great example of kind of this whole thing. So in the bonus material, it's a story about Tara when she's young.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting attacked by these monsters who are all ripping off her clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So all of her clothing is ripped off. She's just there in her pink bra and panties. And then a unicorn comes to save her. And the unicorn spears one of the demons and scares them all away. And then the unicorn tells her that the demons will go away when she's naked. So the unicorn helps her get her clothes off in all of the ways you think a unicorn would help her get her clothes off.
What?
And there are things that happen with the unicorn's horn that I didn't expect to be drawn on the page that entirely were.
Wow.
So, like, it's... The first five issues, I feel like, well, the first four issues of Tarot have a pretense of being a real comic book, and then, oh, hey, look at all these tits. And then the fifth issue, in the snow with the dragon, I think drops the pretense and just goes, titties! And then The extras are pretty much straight-up pornography. Softcore porn, not like hardcore porn, but still porn.
Wow. Did you notice in issue five how... And I say this word without actually meaning it. Artfully, they covered her nipples every time.
Well, yeah, yes. But then they got to the end and they gave up. And, like, there was just hair, like, around the nipple.
Or there's just the snow.
Yeah.
The unmelting snow.
My favorite one, though, was the waterfall.
Yeah.
Actually, like, if there's a waterfall coming down, why wouldn't you move the extra half an inch back so it's not pouring right over just your nipple?
My favorite was when she's running with the sword in front of her.
Oh, and the sword covers just her nipple?
Yeah.
Yes. I like when she is wielding the sword at the dragon, and it's, like, in front of both her nipples and her crotch because of how she's bent over. It's just, like, I don't know, is it just that if they had the full nudity, they'd have to put it in, like, the curtained-off section of the comic book store?
I think so.
Okay, because it seems like if you're going this far, because they do show, like, parts of her nipples sometimes, you might as well just go with the whole thing. It's not like there's anything being actually hidden here.
Yeah. And I read this on the bus.
Oh, no.
I read this at at while I was eating lunch. But I made sure to sit in the corner of the restaurant with my back to the corner, so my so no one could see what I was reading.
Did you read this in the comfort of your home, Jen?
I did, and you know, I actually was so uncomfortable with it that I closed the window when my roommates were around. And normally, like this is, we'll talk about anything. Like, we've discussed all manner of horrible things on the internet, but this was just like, I did not want to be seen reading this comic.
Yeah. 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 I have likewise had terrible discussions about things. As an example, sperm bending. As in the Avatar sense of the word.
I knew what you meant the minute you said it.
As did I.
But the people I had the discussion with, I would not want them to know that I've read this.
Yeah, exactly.
I have had that conversation with people. And I don't want them to know I've read this.
See, that is the level this comic is at. You can talk about things like that, but if your friends catch you looking at this comic, it's like teenage boy being caught with porn, shameful.
Yeah, but like, but worse, right? Because teenage boys, like, okay, like, teenage boys they're gonna watch porn. It's gonna happen, you know, and they're gonna do what teenage boys do, right? Like, that's just a fate of the universe. This, you could avoid easily. You have to go looking for this. And pick it out and say, hey, that tarot comic, I want to read that because I don't know. Like, this is a story, or this is, like, a discussion we brought up last week. That I feel like last week, like, Witchblade was kind of ridiculous in its TNA. But in retrospect, I kind of want to give it a lot more credit when we ask, like, who wants to actually read this? And why would you buy this over, like, Batwoman or Power Girl or She-Hulk or any even, like, Cheesecakey, one of the big two, right? Like, why would you buy this? Why would you spend money on this?
So, I actually have a funny story. And it's that my boyfriend has read this. Not, like, so much of this, but more than we have. And he's also watched the Witchblade show or anime, TV. And I've realized this is why he doesn't like comics. Because I talked to him a little, and he's not into the cheesecake. He's genuinely looking for media about witches. He likes, like, magic and sci-fi and fantasy, and, like, he likes witches. That seems like a really cool concept with people fighting with magic, except it's all this weird cheesecake shit.
That's really interesting. And, you know, now that you mention it, I can't think of any other prominent witch-based comics, or even, even like, fantasy comics. We get, like, Conan, and, like, Fable, I guess, might fall under fantasy, but not really.
Well, I was trying to think of some too, and there's ElfQuest, but even that gets kind of weird, weird and sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then what's also interesting about that is, as I was reading this, I realized like half of the super cheesecakey stuff like this is witch based. So there's some weird correlation between witches and obscene boobies. I don't know why that correlation exists, but it definitely does.
It's so bizarre, because you could make cheesecake out of, like, a lot of stuff.
Anything. But...
And it's not like we went searching for witch-related cheesecake. These are, like, this and Witchblade are two prominent pieces of the genre.
Yeah.
So, who the fuck knows?
This is a prominent piece of a kind of genre.
Yeah, doesn't it make you sad?
Well, okay. Yeah.
So, I just want to, like, open with my initial assessment and get it out of the way. Because I have really mixed feelings about the people who wrote this comic. On the one hand, they're super enthusiastic, and I'm just kind of, like, you know, you do you. Do what you want. That's great. Follow your dreams of comic making. On the other hand, like, all the author pages, they're dressed up in cosplay of their own comic. And, like, that's neat, but then, you know, Holly Golightly is the high priestess of production, and the comic is dedicated to all the witches and graveyard caretakers of the world. And then you read it, and you're kind of like, oh my god, this was dredged up from fanfiction.net and written by a teenager who exclusively shops at Hot Topic. And I know that's really mean, and I feel like, it's not even I feel like a bitch for saying it, I'm a bitch for saying it. It's a mean thing to say. But, god, what is this?
That last exclamation is kind of what I was thinking most of the time. It's, god, what is this? I feel like, of these five issues, the one that I liked the best was the fifth one.
I read the first four last night, and I read the fifth one today, and as I was reading the fifth one, I just, like, I don't know if, like, my brain broke or something, but I just started laughing out loud at the comic. Yeah. Like, the improbable ways they blocked her nipples. Just, I was like, this is completely insane. I can't handle this. How is this an actual thing?
Well,
It drops all pretense. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a satire of itself by issue five.
Yeah, the first four, okay, they've got this story. They're working through with Raven Hex and her spike pasties.
Yeah, when the guy got his eyes poked out by them, I was like, oh, wow.
So bad.
Yeah, and I was also thinking, but the worst part of that panel when I got to it was, wait, no, that wouldn't work, because every time you've drawn her before, they pointed outward. And the eyes line up straight. The way the panel's drawn, she physically could not stab him like that. Because she'd have to kind of hold them together and point the spikes at him, and then also pull him towards her. That was what got me about that. Not that it was awkward, creepy, weird, disgusting. It was that, no, it's been drawn wrong the entire time.
Well, you know, the entire, like, section they left out in the non-existent gutters of this comic, which, by the way, why are there no gutters in this comic?
Because it's already in the gutter.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Snap.
But clearly, in between panels, she was just, like, carefully spending 5 minutes positioning her tits to stab him in the eye.
She's like, oh, that guy's coming over here. I better get ready.
Yep.
But yeah, so, like, the first four issues, I think, are kind of interesting if you really have... No, they're not. Okay, they're just not. But, like, the fifth one is fun to read. It's just fun to read. It's not good, but it's fun. And the first four aren't fun. The first four are just, oh, god, really? You're gonna... That's awkward. They're having, like, breakfast in the kitchen, and she's wearing, like, a sheer pajama thing, and then her mom walks in and is totally cool with it. Like, that's awkward, bro. Like, there's so many things that just... That, like, there are so many things in the first four issues that make me feel awkward because of the insane breastises. But the fifth one, the insane breastises are the punchline, and that's why it's great. The fifth one, I unashamedly really enjoyed. But the first four are complete shit.
Well, so my issue reading the first four stem mostly, they mostly come from this John guy. Is he called Skeleton Man? I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's his secret identity.
That is his superhero name. Skeleton
they
Man.
They did not even try.
But that's my fear. What if they tried really hard?
There were so many better names you could come up with. I mean...
Like Boner.
That doesn't seem like that much of a stretch for this comic.
But at least it would be relevant and fitting.
Anyways, so I kept getting hung up when he appeared in the... God damn it. Whenever he appeared in the comic, I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to think about while I was reading this comic. Like, is this like supposed to be serious? Like, are they trying to make this a serious comic? I mean, obviously there's some parts of it that aren't meant to be taken seriously, or maybe they are, I don't know. But every time he came on the page, I was like, what is this? What's this guy's deal? Like, I didn't know if he was supposed to be a funny character or like another, like, am I supposed to take him? Is he like an actual hero? Or because he's like an idiot.
He's a huge idiot.
But he's like got magic powers. Or I just, every time he came up, I was like, what is this guy supposed to do? And it just fucking pulled me out of the story every time. I was like genuinely trying to understand this, what this comic is about. And this is going to sound so weird. I guess he ruined it for me.
No, I agree, because he's a love interest, right? And I feel like if this had just been, like, FAP material, it would have been lots and lots of shots of Raven and Taro in their ridiculous, like, spine-bending poses, doing their, like, you know, witchy fight things. But
donning
then,
their witch armor.
Yeah, but then we have, like, this romance story where, oddly enough, Taro's mom is like, go for that ass, right? She's just like, get on that.
I like how her dying statement is, you know, if you guys wanted to hook up, I'd be down. That'd be great. Go at it.
So creepy.
And then he's not just a love interest. He's part of a love triangle with Crypt Chick.
Oh, yeah.
Crypt Chick.
Okay, no, that's where I gave up, was Crypt Chick. The name, the Hot Topic dress. Her character design is Hot Topic missing some flesh. And that's it, done. God.
I don't even know what else to add to that, Andy. That was like the perfect explanation.
So, okay. This is going to be ridiculous. Let's talk about character design.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so Crypt Chick is obviously the laziest, more terrible character design. John is also terrible. Skeleton Man, who wears the crappy skeleton bandana that you can get at Hot Topic, I imagine. Taro, I like the spirals on the boobies. That was interesting. It's kind of like, look here.
Interesting.
It was an interesting decision. the horns reminded me of Alex Straza. What else?
Oh, from World of Warcraft.
Yeah, from World of Warcraft. Yeah. And other than that, she's almost as naked as possible, except for the massive spikes coming out the sides of her boots. For whatever fucking reason.
Well, she has little wings on her boots, too.
Yeah, but like, what gets me is there are giant spikes on the sides of her boots that I imagine are somewhat sharp, and she's constantly getting tangled up and strewn across the page in bondage situations, but she never uses the damn things to get out of those situations. You have knives on your feet. What are you doing?
She has a weirdly long neck, too.
She has a weirdly shaped a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ravenhex, okay, Ravenhex actually, I think, is the best designed character in this comic. Until she breaks down into tears about her mother, which actually I kind of understand too. But like, she, I think, I don't know why I'm trying so hard to give this comic merit when it just clearly does not need it. Like, she looks weird. You see the centipede tattoo almost kind of thing scrawling across her body.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to look weird and does look weird. And, like, the tattoo under her eyes is weird. And then the way she gets these tattoos, that weird, like, ink monster thing that was...
Yeah,
that
giant, like, bug.
So I think that Ravenhex is the best executed out of this because she's a consistently presented character who gets development through the course of these four issues. And, like, it's weird to give this comic that kind of credit. And I didn't when I was reading it. But, like, looking back, a lot of things about her are exactly the way they should be for that kind of character. In this kind of comic, I want to couch it that way, too. I don't think you would take Ravenhex out of this comic and put her into you know, like Batman and have her have the same character design.
I mean, definitely not the same costume.
Yes, at least. But, like, in this context, that's probably the thing that they did the best. Which doesn't say a whole lot, but, you know, I want to give credit where it's due, if at all possible.
Yeah, I mean, she looks antagonistic and creepy, so... Yeah. It's just, the way her body is shaped is very... It's beyond realistic to the point of disturbing.
Right, like I was saying last week. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago when I was looking at the covers of Tarot? And it's just like, they turn you off. This is not what real people look like. This is not what anybody looks like.
It's they don't turn some people off.
Obviously. Yeah, apparently. But like that was my first reaction when I looked at the covers of these. And when I saw the art on the pages, like, this is so not real to the point that it's like, I don't know if I described it on the show or whatever, but it's like you're getting turned on, you're getting going, and then something happens that's really disgusting, and you go, oh god, no, turn it off right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I look at this, and I immediately get that feeling of, this is supposed to be sexy, I understand that in my subconscious, but oh dear god, please no, this is disgusting to look at. Then what were your guys' first reactions to opening this comic? Because I think that's important to evaluate, too, because we come into this with a certain mindset as a reader, especially couching it in cheesecake and having a little bit of knowledge of what we were going in for. Like, what was your guys' reaction when you first started reading this?
Well, I was certainly curious about this comic. I've seen it on the shelf and stuff at the local comic book store.
And it's been running for a long time, so it's been on the shelf for a while.
And it comes up on the internet, like, on Comics Alliance. Sometimes Chris Sims makes fun of it and stuff. When I first read it, it was like, okay, they have giant boobies. And then you get to the page where she dons her armor. And then it just, like, it like, jumps the shark, I guess. It's just... It's like it became just ridiculous. I'm not sure. I don't know if I had the same, like, disgusted reaction as you did, Andy. At least not in the same way. But I certainly could tell that this wasn't going to be a great comic from pretty much, like, 5 pages into the first issue. I was like, okay, I know what I'm in for. I'm gonna have to get through this.
Slog on through.
I was gonna say plow through it, but then I didn't have the right choice of words.
Well, that would have been the perfect choice of words. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what my reaction was. It was like, well, maybe it was like, this is, since we were doing this for the podcast, it was like, this is homework. This is sexy homework.
Sexy homework. You know what? I entirely get that. I get what you mean. But feeling like homework. And then also the sexy homework.
I mean, the first 4 issues, like you said earlier, Andy, the first 4 issues were kind of, they were kind of work to get through. But when I got to issue 5, I was just... Maybe I had just, like I said, my brain broke, something happened, a switch flipped, and I enjoyed it myself. I was like, this is just comedy now. And that's where my confusion came from. I think I put in the notes that what is the tone of this comic? Because by issue 5, I felt like this is funny. But I have the feeling that this isn't supposed to be funny, necessarily. Is there supposed to be humor in this comic? I certainly think so. Particularly Skeleton Man.
I think issue 5 is supposed to be like in your, like, say you're watching an anime, right? And you just got over this really hardcore, intense arc. Like this hardcore, like, 20-episode arc where the superhero beat up this really hardcore villain. And then you get 1-2 episodes of filler that are bordering on fan service. Like One Piece when they go to the resort one, right? And everybody's running around in bikini and boxers and shit. Right? Like, I feel like issue 5 is supposed to be that. Oh, okay. Don't worry, reader. We just had you read 4 intense issues of hardcore witch-on-witch action. We're going to give you some light, fluffy filler. Light, fluffy, pillowy filler.
Yeah, but see, I don't know if that... I don't know if I buy that.
Intentional?
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Because, I mean, issue 5 was ridiculous because, first of all, she's naked through the entirety of the issue.
Yeah.
And she's covered up strategically by not melting snow, Blade of the Sword, sometimes not at all.
The waterfall.
And then she's fighting a dragon, right? And it's like, okay, she convinces the dragon to go with her plan. She's going to heal the baby dragon's tail. What does the dragon do? The dragon changes into a sexy lady.
I love that part. With the tail, too.
Yeah, with the tail. She has, like, a perfectly... unnaturally perfect ass, okay? The dragon chick does. And there's this tail just sprouting out of it at the top.
They never explain why.
I don't know what I'm supposed to think about that.
Alex Straza. Dragons turn into people.
But she doesn't look like that. She has armor and stuff.
Yeah, well...
You know, I saw that panel. When she made that change, my immediate reaction was like, huh, deviant art. Like, right? It's like if someone liked the dragon character and was like, I'm gonna draw some sexy fan art.
Yeah, it's like a sexy Pokemon or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but... I mean,
it's like if you go on DeviantArt and you look up, like, Pikachu. Oh, and if you dig hard enough, this is what you will find.
By dig hard enough, you mean the second page?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all relative.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess one of the perks of this comic would be that's actually canon. Like, that Pokemon doesn't really exist in the Pokemon games. And, you know, if that really disappoints you that you don't get Pikachu with breasts, then maybe Tarot is the comic for you. Because you could see the dragon the entire time and think, that dragon's cool, I would like to see some titties on it. Just wait until the end of the issue, and then there's titties on that dragon.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I think that's who this would be for. I think that's the target audience. It's the person who goes to DeviantArt and says, man, I really wish this was canon. What if this was real? What if Pikachu really did have... God.
So, I actually have a theory about the target audience for this comic. And it hit me when I looked at the end of issue 5 and there was an interview with an actual witch.
Mm.
And she was talking about, Wiccan practices. And I looked at that and was like, oh my god, they're serious. It's about, like, serious appeal here. It wasn't making fun of anything. It wasn't a tie-in, really, to tarot. It was just like, here's a thing about witchcraft. And I think it is smut for dudes, but I also think that it's smut for ladies.
Hmm.
Because if you think about it, there's nothing, like, super hardcore about it. It's all softcore. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, like, explicitly revealed, which I think is something that you get a lot in romance and erotica for women. There's a lot of, like implication that's, like, really obvious but never quite says it, yeah. I think. At least, you know, you hear about romance novels with the purple prose that never actually say the words but, like, basically say the thing.
Yeah.
And that's what this is in a visual sense. So... And they actually, like, stole some random crap from Wicca, I think. Like, the first rule of being a witch or whatever, don't harm people.
Wait, that was really? They didn't make that up?
I think that's real.
Oh, God, it's so stupid. I was hoping they made it up.
So, it makes me wonder if it's, like, also targeted at a certain, like, female demographic that doesn't want just, like, the romance novels, but... It also wants, like, the high fantasy and the romance and listens to Marilyn Manson. And it's 1998.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that, but I'm willing to bet that in some people's minds, this is what they believe they are like when they practice witchcraft at home. They see themselves as super sexy and they would wear the thing in public, but they know that they can't, so they'll just wear goth emo stuff or whatever instead. And, like... You know, thinking of it from that perspective, I might be more inclined to agree with you, David, that the fifth issue is entirely serious. Because the pretense of that issue for getting naked, communing back with nature, getting back in touch with the winter fairies and the moon goddess and stuff, like, that would all, like, yeah, somebody might actually do that. And then, you know, then the comic comes in with the dragon and the cat and stuff.
So, huh. I just want to put out there, too, that the only real source for my theories here is anecdotal evidence of growing up in, like, late middle school, early high school. I can think of people I know who would have read stuff like this, and they were all girls, huh. And they were all the, you know, punk goth type who yeah. were into, like, saying, oh, yeah, I like anarchy and witchcraft. So I think there was a certain demographic in this time period, the year 2000, in teen pop culture that this might have been a target to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it's so funny, though, how I look at this and I don't even consider that there would be a female market.
Because, it, like you said, it feels like fan service.
Yeah. Especially the dragon. Well, and the extra bonus material, the happy ending bonus material. If you happen to buy the trade.
I kind of wish I had read that just a little bit.
Oh, I can let you borrow it. It's no problem. That unicorn, the issue ends. That unicorn is just ecstatic. But okay. All of this stuff aside, I think if you pick up this comic, you kind of know what you're getting in for, right? I feel like last week we could rail on Witchblade for the way that its female characters were portrayed, right? Like, I felt more justified railing on Witchblade when the first thing you see about Sarah Pazzini is tits and ass, right? The first thing you see is her butt, the second thing you see are her breasts, and then, oh yeah, also there's a fully formed person there too. And I feel like I could rail on that because they were trying to portray her as a certain type of character, and it was a more seriously comic booky toned comic. Like it wasn't this. This throws whatever pretense of being a real comic book, I think, out the window, and it wholly embraces its cheesecakiness, both from a writing perspective and from a art perspective especially. So I feel like it'd be wrong of us to, or it'd be wrong of me at least, to slam this comic for, like, you know, saying this is an terribly objective portrayal of women, this is negative for the comic book industry. It's like, I'm not gonna go to porn and tell porn that it's being bad because the way it portrays women. Like, if I go to a porn site, I kind of know what I should be getting into. So I feel like I have to put that stuff aside. And then the most atrocious thing to me here is the ungodly number of spelling and grammar errors.
There were quite a few.
My favorite one, I gotta say, was something about the smell of innocence, but it was the noun and not the adjective. Yeah. So it was like, she smells like children?
It was constantly the wrong form of its. There would be, it's like, I would read it and I could understand how, like, phonetically, like a 16 or 17 year old would write it that way in an essay. Like, phonetically, it makes sense. You know, the things that you're supposed to do with no D. You're supposed to do them.
Supposed?
No, you're supposed to do them. We don't pronounce, and no, in American English, we don't pronounce the D in supposed when we say you're supposed to do something.
Yeah.
We just don't pronounce it. So, in this comic, they didn't write it. The problem is it's spelled with a fucking D. Just shit like that, like, every page. And it got worse as it kept reading.
I want to point out that in, I think, every issue, a proofreader was credited.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Maybe by proofreader they mean someone who they could prove read it.
Dude, Jim Balin, if you're listening to this, I will proofread Tarot for you for free if you put me in the credits so that I can say I work in the comic book industry, and I guarantee you I will be a better proofreader than whoever did these first five issues.
I guarantee it. I think the proofreader's name is Don Dinner.
Is it Dinner or Dinin?
I like to think
I
of can't dinner.
I want it to be dinner.
Yeah, I want it to be dinner.
So dinner. I will also say I'm a professional editor, and I too would read this for free if you use a pseudonym.
Oh, no, I want my real name in there.
I don't.
I don't care. I'll let anybody know I added this, because then I could be like, yeah, when's the last time you were credited in a comic book, son? That's right, never. I don't even care how shitty of a comic it is. Because honestly, what struck me as we were reading this, because we also did a series previously about comics that are so bad they're good to read, right? And we read Batman Odyssey for that one, which I think is the king of so bad it's good. But then we also read the Blue Water comics. The, like, celebrity ones? Like, mm-hmm. What do we read? We read Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah,
I read Black Eyed Peas.
Lady Gaga and Betty White.
Black Eyed Peas, that's my jam.
And, really. And those I feel like were way better edited than these.
Yes.
And those are universally ridiculed. So, like, come on, Jim, give me a call. Send me an email. I'll do it. I'll do it for free.
I want to point out one more, like, really amazing problem, because this is something you learn in elementary school, and it's that sometimes they just doubled up on punctuation. Like, a comma literally just meant pause in dialogue, so it would be period, comma, or a question mark followed by a period for some reason. It's just like, okay.
My favorite, there's one paragraph that was three sentences, and the first sentence had 2 exclamation points, the second one had 4, and the last one had 1.
It was exciting.
Yeah, they wanted you to know how intensely to read each of those sentences. Which volume level you were supposed to be reading them at.
Yeah.
So that actually brings up a question. Holly Golightly is the editor for this. Or the letterer for this. And I know a lot of lettering is done today by computer, but traditionally was done by hand. Did you get the impression that it was just like typed out in some random typeface, and that's why there's like no actual bolding like we see so often in superhero comics?
You know, maybe.
It just struck me as so odd that it's not at all lettered.
Yeah, like, I noticed there's... Yeah, now that you mention it, there wasn't any bolding anywhere, no emphasis on, like, italicization. Like, they italicize and bold. They don't do, like, a full 45, they do like a 30 italicization when they bold it in comics for emphasis. But like, yeah, there's none of that in this.
But it's like in comics, unless someone actually has a speech bubble or a sound effect going on, you'll never see exclamation points stacked up like that. It will just be bold.
Yeah.
So.
Which I also gotta say, the fourth issue was dark blue text on black boxes for the text boxes. So if there was anything written in the text boxes in issue 4, I couldn't read it, so I don't know what was said there.
There was, in fact, things written there.
Yeah.
I know that there were, but if you guys reference them, I will be fucking lost. what did you guys think of the character development?
Raven had some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John?
No.
What's his name? John Webb.
Was it Webb?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess his role changed. Is that character development? Well, I mean, now he's Taro's boyfriend.
Is he really, though?
Well, according to mom,
Are they actually going steady?
According to Taro's mom.
I have a question. Who is Wraith? Because a couple times John yelled out to Wraith, but I don't know who that is.
It's the dog. It's his ghost dog.
Did he rename the dog Wraith after it died, or had it always been a ghost name with not ghost dog?
That's a giant mystery.
Yeah, these are the questions of the universe.
Ghost Dog. Have you guys seen that movie? Sorry.
No.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. I mean, does it matter? He can somehow lick people still, even though he's a ghost.
Yeah. I noticed that, because there was a time when he was, like, jumped up on somebody, and it said, slurp, slurp, slurp.
Yeah, that was when he was on John.
And it made me think, what the hell is he slurping with? How the dog must have not been dead very long.
What is ghost tongue?
What does ghost tongue feel like? Oh, John probably knows pretty well.
That's...
Oh, my.
That would be some real fan service.
Well, wait until issue 10. I'm not going to put it past this comic.
Hey, so this is... We're not really talking about... We were talking about character design earlier, but... Do you think that the ghosts in this comic get to choose their clothing after they die, or do they keep the stuff they died in?
I think it's the stuff they died in. Yeah, it is. It is, because they showed Brandy in the car wearing the fishnet and skull, I think it was. Skull on each boot.
Oh, really?
That top. Yep. It showed her in that same getup in the car when they crashed, and that's what she's wearing when she's dead.
Oh, yeah. There.
Continuity. Good job, Jim.
That was an interesting... So maybe she wanted to be Crypt Chick all along.
I think she was Crypt Chick before she was dead.
Yeah, now she just is official.
She just... Well, before she had CryptChick.Zynga.com.
Oh,
and she blogged as Crypt Chick, and then she died, and she thought, I might as well just embrace that persona. I am Crypt Chick. I am the knight.
Oh, we are so in 1998. It's unbelievable. I want to imagine that Crypt Chick is this comic's target audience, but then she died, and now there's no target audience.
Well, I mean, they could probably get comic books at a graveyard.
Yeah, I guess. Comics anywhere. Graveyards have mailing addresses.
True. Man. But there'd be, like, no internet to pirate bad comics. So sad.
You'd have to actually pay for them. Now would you earn money, you're a ghost. Oh, that's why John's poor. Now I get it.
Because he hangs out with ghosts?
Yeah.
Wait,
ghosts don't pay?
Yeah.
Have we just, like, written our own fan fiction here?
Hell yeah, we just did. This comic's amazing.
I want to hop back to what you were saying about Witchblade.
Yeah.
And how, you know, like, it changes your... this comic changes your perception of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I totally agreed with that point. And I just wanted to add, like, with Witchblade, at least I felt maybe at times a little incensed because I felt like the authors looked at it and were like, okay, how can we make this the sexiest? And it almost felt, like, very planned.
Yeah, how I kept saying that Witchblade, everything was hot.
Yeah, it felt planned but lazy, like they were going for the cheap commercialization of sex.
Mm-hmm.
This, on the other hand, I honestly feel like these two authors or creators are genuinely trying. Like, I get a sense that Taro, Witch of the Black Rose, is a very honest comic with itself. And I don't know, it just strikes me as odd that something so... I'll just say it's bad. Something so bad can also seem so genuine.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's why, as much as we've been crapping on this, there's something about this comic that's almost a little charming. That might not be the right word to use. But it's like, this is bad. There's no getting around it. This is just bad. On almost every level, this is bad. But, God, I had so much fun reading that fifth issue, and I would be a liar if I didn't, like, say that I felt a little bit of elation when I turned the page and saw the dragon with breasts. But I saw the dragon turn into sexy lady. And it's not like I was, oh, yay, fan art's canon. I didn't have that kind of thing. Like, oh, yay, now I don't have to go on DeviantArt. It's right there. It was more just like, oh, of course. It was like that feeling. And that's more emotional reaction this comic got out of me than I got out of reading all of Witchblade. You know? And it's like, when we I still legitimately feel, if somebody tells me what issue I can start getting backstory on what the Witchblade is, or like flashback like side series about the other Witchblade wielders, like Joan of Arc with the Witchblade kind of thing. I still do want to read that, and I have no interest whatsoever in reading further Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose. But I feel like, yeah, genuine, I think, is the great way to put it. This comic is really genuine and honest. And there's something about that that's, like, refreshing, I think. Especially for people like David and me, who read so much of the Big Two. And I feel like so much of what I read of DC and Marvel is just, like, editorial, mission, like, editorial, story-driven. Like, the author doesn't get to write their own story. It's all dictated from on high.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dictated. But Tarot, this is just Jim and Holly trying to bang something out, and they're giving it their best shot, and they're probably having fun doing it, and somebody's having fun reading it.
I think we could say for certainty that they're having fun reading it, and like you said, it's genuine and definitely. No, I mean, like, if you see, they have the pictures of them at the yeah. front in costume. They definitely enjoy what they're doing, and it's definitely, like, from the heart, I guess.
It's something I can respect. Like, I feel like, despite all the sexualization here, it doesn't stir any feminist outrage, because it's not meant to be, like, maliciously taking advantage of female sexuality. It's not meant to commercialize anything. It's not meant to try to sell you sex. Or sell you a certain image of a woman, or, you know, put a character, like, you know, up as a certain type of trope or idol. This is just, like, they thought of this character, and they're like, what would make her really cool? Yeah, let's draw her in this sweet bikini with spirals, and then, you know, let's have her fight these things all the time. And you know, I gotta say, like, Tarot as a character is probably, like, stronger and less vapid than Pez was. So, I don't know, like, she's drawn in a super crazy way, but I don't think there's anything inherently dislikable about the portrayal of their main character.
And certainly if you think about it, like, being drawn in a crazy way isn't something that's specific to Tarot or even Cheesecake Comics. I mean, you can look at mainstream stuff from the Big Two, particularly in the 90s and the, like, Image...
Oh, God.
Image age, you look at characters like Psylocke, right? And that, I think that stands out more as, like, commercialization of sexuality because of the setting it's in, right? You get characters like, she's fighting alongside people like Wolverine, who's like a hairy, short dude that's covered from head to toe in yellow, right? And then there's Psylocke, who's like a psychic ninja with a thong, right? But Tarot, like, everybody's like that. That's just the world of Tarot. It's not like she's some kind of weird outcast. I mean, I guess she is because she's a witch, but all the other witches are dressed like that, you know?
Yeah.
Even her mom is kind of sexualized, because there's some shots where you can see her nipples and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I agree with what you're saying, Jen. Definitely.
Man, I kind of actually wonder if I might like this comic a little more if the art was just different. And I think about, like, what you said with the Big Two and Psylocke. And, for instance, like, Catwoman in 2013 was a big deal because everyone was so enraged.
Yeah, the new...
And rightly so, about her portrayals. But I feel like they were doing something bad with Catwoman, whereas here, I mean, it's not good. You shouldn't portray women like this. It's damaging in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I kind of feel like this is what Tarot is. Like you said, it's just them doing their thing, and it's not taking an already established character and sexualizing her even more.
And even, like, going back to New 52, I mean, Catwoman's a good example, but I think even an even better example is the uproar that came around with Starfire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was just thinking of...
From Red Hood and the Outlaws, because Starfire had been a character who had been portrayed as a strong, She was a strong female character in a cartoon directed at children, right?
Yeah, she's Teen a fucking Titans space princess. She's a fucking space princess.
And she's like, she's an awesome character, not sexualized in any way, and a lot of little girls looked up to her, right? I mean, she was a hero for little girls, and then imagine being that little girl and picking up Red Hood and the Outlaws. Being, you know, you say, oh, this is a new comic with Starfire. She's my favorite character. I'm going to read this. And you turn the page, and that's how Starfire is now. I mean, that's more damaging to the reputation of a character or to a fan's vision of a character than Tarot is, because this is how Tarot always has been, and she always will be this way. And it's not directed at young people who, you know, it's directed at adults, and you know, maybe some of those adults are, I mean, I don't know. The people who are reading it for different reasons. You know what? Yeah. But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
And so they understand what they're getting into. Jim Balint and Holly Golightly know who they're writing for. But and what makes it the thing with Starfire even worse is they're, you know, the writer of Starfire and the character and the artist should know who the type of people that are going to be picking the comic up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because the characters in the Big Two and Image, the ones that have been around for a long time, they carry so much baggage with them. Like, you talk about just... Even Starfire, right, that's true, but even, like, even Witchblade, even just, let's take last week, right? The idea is that you're starting with a character that's strong, right? And granted, that's not the first impression we got with Witchblade, but I think the point we were supposed to get is that these characters are strong female characters. Catwoman has a strong identity. Starfire has a strong identity. And they're all independent people. They're all independent women. They have their own goals. They are developed characters in their own right. And when they're drawn in this way that changes them into objects of sexual desire, it reduces who they are as characters to the physical parts of their anatomy that make them appealing to men. And that's why it's a reduction in their character. And it'll always, forever, only be a reduction. You can draw Catwoman sexy because Catwoman is sexy. But you can't do it in a way that takes away who she is to emphasize... You can't take it away... You can't take away who she is to make sure that you get both the butt and the boobs in the same panel. That's not a legitimate justification for removing who she is. But Tarot, yeah, fuck it, who cares? Right? Like, Tarot has always been this, you know? And if anything, with Tarot, because this is going to be such a stretch. Because her witch armor is what it is, and because you're shown that as being her putting on her source of power, if anything else, the skipping costume is part of what makes her a stronger character.
Or at least it doesn't detract.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think what it comes down to, if you take the fact that this is for mature readers into consideration, is an argument as to whether or not smut belongs in comics. And I don't know, like, I honestly don't really care if there's pornographic comics. I don't want it to be pornographic versions of characters that I view in a certain light.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's like you said with, you know, Starfire or Catwoman, they have their identities and they are who they are. They're strong and independent. And I wouldn't look at either of those and say, okay, she's also a porn star. Now, if you took a character where that is far more likely, then I'm kind of like, okay, well, that's part of who they are. Except because the Big Two target a younger audience, or want to be accessible to a younger audience, I should say, then there's no character who really fulfills that. I mean, you see kind of some characters have multiple flirtations, like... I don't know. I always think of, like, Roy Harper as being Like the horrible man slut of comics.
Well, Hercules is a good example of man sluttery. Yeah. So is She-Hulk. Well, She-Hulk's not man sluttery. Yeah, actually, She-Hulk's renowned for getting around. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, She-Hulk is okay to sleep around, but I wouldn't want to see her in the same situation as Tara, because I feel like She-Hulk has faculty in that she chooses who she sleeps around with.
Right.
And if you kind of take away the, like, easygoing feel of that, like, the humor behind it and just the fact that it's part of her character and gives her confidence, and turn it into pure smut, then it's like, eh, I don't want that.
Yeah.
But here, I guess what it comes down to is tarot is what tarot is, and if you're incensed about tarot, maybe you should be looking at whether or not you're mad about pornography in the industry.
Yes. Yes. I was going to phrase it much less eloquently than that last sentence. I was going to say that I think Taro is a victim of the Jessica Rabbit problem. She's not bad, she's just drawn that way. And when you think about Taro and how she acts in this comic, I mean, she's comfortable with her body when John comes into the shower, right? Which I have no concept of what it's like to be that physically attractive. So maybe if I were that physically attractive and some random woman walked into me in the shower, I wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't have any sense of I should cover myself up either. I don't know what that's like. But that's the closest we ever come to seeing her, like, willingly revealing any part of herself, objectifying herself, making herself an object of sexual desire. I mean, her witch armor, I don't know why it looks that way, but there might be some bullshitty in-universe functional reason for why it's drawn that way, or why the armor has to be like that. I don't know. But as a character, she's not... Nothing about her screams sex other than her anatomy and her witch armor.
Her posing.
But that's the art, right? But, like,
yeah.
Her as a character, nothing she does with agency makes her into that object. It's the art, the way that she's posed, the witch armor. It's things that the artist is putting onto the page about her. But as a character, I would say she's way more reserved than She-Hulk. She's way more reserved than a Hercules. She's nowhere near as slutty as those people.
Yeah, and I mean,
she's just drawn way more slutty.
She had that, like, instance with Skeleton Man where she touched his shoulder and they had some weird sexual tension from that. And her immediate reaction was, unlike Pez, you know, she didn't dwell on it. She didn't say, oh, and spend, like, 5 pages soliloquizing. Is that the soliloquizing?
Soliloquizing.
Yes, it just sounds so weird when you say it. Soliloquizing about, like, how she feels and what this might mean and men, and how men define her. She was just like, well, not the time for that right now. Problems to solve. And then she went and solved her problems.
Yeah. And then got back around to it.
Yeah, and it still wasn't the forefront of who she was as a character, which I think is what I found offensive about Witchblade. It was all about who these men were in relation to Pez, whereas here it's all about who Taro is in relation to the side characters around her, which makes her a much stronger main character.
Oh, that's so sad for Witchblade.
I'm still angry about Witchblade. I harbor a hatred in my heart.
Aww.
Not hatred, but anger, definitely. It was just...
Which comic makes you more angry, Taro or Witchblade?
Definitely Witchblade, because that was, I felt, a righteous anger, whereas most of my anger about Taro had to do with copy editing.
Yeah.
Like, really, it really got to me, all the problems. But I felt like I don't have an objection to pornography in the industry as long as it's targeted to knowing audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with tarot existing. I think it's really silly. But there it is. It's genuine, and it's seriously funny in some places. It doesn't anger me, really. Yeah. I also want to say, my first exposure to this was through Chris Sims, who wrote a really funny couple of articles on Comics Alliance.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I pulled one of them up while we were
They're
talking.
Just so great. And you can see, like, the quality of the dialogue, the copy editing, the art, all goes up quite a bit from where we are today.
And yeah, the one... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Jen.
I was just going to say, like, I think it becomes a little more clear that the tone is meant to be sexy comedic with a touch of drama, rather than kind of this jumbled mess of angst and witchcraft.
So the tone is supposed to lead more towards 5 than 1 through 4.
I would think so, based on what Chris Sims chose, but I mean, that is editorializing in itself, so...
Actually, I'm reading the article that I found. It talks about issue 71, 70 and 71.
There's 70 something issues
list. And, well, the art is a lot cleaner. It's much better. It's still pretty... It's a lot more humorous. Like, the focus of the article that Chris Sims wrote is about how Witchblade is bitten by an eel in her lady parts.
Yep. But that's funny. I mean, I read that Chris Sims article, and I read the panels, and I laughed. And it was just so extreme that I wasn't even thinking to myself, oh, this is exploitation. Maybe I should be thinking that, but it's so wacky. It didn't feel like that. It felt like someone was, like, maybe even having a go at some of the crazy shit that we see in comics and the way women are portrayed, because I don't, it's so over the top. I want to imagine that maybe it's a little knowingly poking fun at itself.
Hmm. So here's, okay. David, did you have one more question before we get on to reading it?
Or
did
that end up coming up? I'm good to go.
Okay. So I have one last question before we get on to reading this. If you had to read the next trade of this or Witchblade, which one would you choose?
This might surprise people, but this.
Jen?
This.
Oh, fuck, it's unanimous. crap, that means I have to rate this higher than I rated Witchblade. Shit. I'll go not first. Jen, how about you?
What did I give Witchblade? A 1.5? A 2?
I think a two.
Yeah. I
think we all gave it 2, 2.5.
I think I gave it 2.5, and I think you guys gave it 2.
I'm gonna go with a 2.5 for this, because, oh, no, this is also a 2, but I want to make it really clear that it's a 2 for very different reasons. I think this has potential to be a decent comedic pornographic comic. I mean, not really a genre we read too much, but it was kind of weird, because I had the exact same thing with issues 1 through 4 and then 5 being funny. As I went through 4, or the first 4, I was sad. Like, I had like an almost Eeyore-like response where I was thinking, like, oh, bother, more of this, more boobs. And then it was issue 5, and it was so over-the-top ridiculous, it was funny, and it was enjoyable. But the extensive problems with the writing really killed it for me. Mm. And if those go away, I would think that this would actually be kind of a fun read. Thing with the art, too, is it wasn't bad, but it was really different. I feel like it was drawn by someone who doesn't have, I'm not going to say art experience, but, like, the same, I don't know, view of how the industry art should work, which can be refreshing, but sometimes it was a little too shoved together for me. The way all the panels kind of flowed into each other. There weren't too many gutters. There wasn't enough break for a nice mental pause to figure out what was going on. Hmm. And then, you know, the way the women actually looked. If you're going to draw voluptuous ladies, at least make it, like, a little bit anatomically possible. And, I mean, like, their boobs kept changing sizes throughout because the perspective wasn't quite right, so you'd get one that, like, looked way bigger than the other, and then it switched up, and it's just like, okay, some people have larger breasts, okay, whatever, but make it proportionate to each other throughout the comic, have boob continuity. I don't know. So, I'm giving this a 2, but I'm not offended by this. I don't think kids should read it. I don't think it's appropriate for a lot of situations. It's not for polite company, but it was funny at the end, and I foresee it being funny later. So, yeah.
All right, David, how about you?
All right. I'm also going to match my score from last week and give this a 2.5. By the, like Jen said, and like you will probably say, Andy, by the end of the 5th issue, I did find myself enjoying this comic. Maybe not for the reasons that the writers intended, but I mean, it was so over the top that I thought it was like comical. And maybe that's not what it's supposed to be, but you know, I think that if anybody can enjoy it for any reason, it's probably a positive, right? However, it's not really a good comic as far as comics go. Like, the writing is shaky, the copy editing's bad, the art isn't great either, at least in these first 5 issues. I mean, I saw some, I looked at the Chris Sims article from 70, and the art was a lot better. The lines were cleaner, it was more consistent, the coloring was better, everything about the art was better. So this comic certainly has potential, or it certainly improves. There you go. But these 4, I mean, we're just rating these 5 issues, so they're not that great. But like you said, Andy, when you asked what would we rather read, I would certainly rather read this. I would rather read this over Witchblade. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that this comic knows what it is and sticks to it. Like, it does a really, it knows what it, the artists or the creators are, you can tell that they are enjoying this comic, and it's really, and they're having fun doing it, creating the comic. So that, I think that adds a lot to, you know, if it can come through in the comic, Andy,
sorry,
if that can come through in the comic, in the reading of the comic, and the reader can pick it up, it elevates the comic a little bit, you know. You can share in the enjoyment of the creators. Yeah. So, you know, these first 5 issues are 2.5, but that doesn't mean it's a bad. I mean, it is a bad comic in the grand scheme of things. At least these first 5 issues are, but it's not. It's bad because it's not. It's not the best a comic could be as a example of the medium. But like Jen, I'm not offended by this comic because the comic is clear in its mission. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It says mature readers on the cover, so your kids shouldn't be reading it anyway. Nobody should be surprised when they pick up this comic, is what I'm saying. And so
from the cover, you should know.
Yeah, from these first 5 issues are 2.5, which is average. And it looks like from what I've seen, the comic gets, the quality improves. So that's a plus too. So I think 2.5 is a pretty good score. And it definitely, even though this has the same, I gave it the same score as Witchblade, I think this is slightly better.
So I'm going to buck the trend. I know I said I would rather read the next trade of this than Witchblade. But I'm still going to give this a 1. Because this trade, I can't rationalize giving it higher. The gut disgust reaction I have, it's like, did either one of you ever watch The Man Show when it was on?
Yes.
And they had this woman who had gotten way, way too many breast implants and was able to crush a beer bottle by slamming her boob on it. Had either one of you seen?
And yes, I've seen that.
And the reaction that I have for that is just, oh dear God, that's disgusting. And like, and when they had the dude on that lost a bet and got breast implants, like, that's just, I have no desire to see that. It's just, and I have that reaction with so many panels in this, where it's just like, that is, Those are so big, it's disgusting. And I think part of the reason I enjoy number 5 is because I'm pretty sure Taro gets, like, at least a half a cup smaller, on average, in issue 5 than in the first 4. I don't know if they were trying to draw in more readers in the first 4 issues. I don't know. The art on level actually probably isn't too bad, honestly. And I was thinking it doesn't have any gutters, but it's kind of neat. You know, the no gutter thing, that's a 90s thing that he's actually doing kind of well, all things considered. But just the writing's bad, the angst is bad, the hot topic is bad, they don't know how to use English. How do you print thousands, okay, no, hundreds of these comics for sale with all of these errors in it, and then at the end of the comic you credit a proofreader? Are you fucking shitting me? Really? Really? And you're selling this. So it's terrible, and it's getting a 1. No matter how much I enjoyed reading issue number 5, it's getting a 1. All that said, I would be way more interested in reading volume 4 of this, as it gets more and more wacky and ludicrous, than I would in reading volume 4 of Witchblade, because I'm pretty sure Witchblade doesn't get crazier. I'm pretty sure Witchblade just gets more hot. Just New York City still so hot. Like, all the things that were wrong in Witchblade are going to be wrong and not fun for the duration of Witchblade. But I feel like Tarot, the wrongs can get righted. But this trade is just fucking terror bad. I can't give it more than a 1, not with a good conscience. But next week, I'm almost certain I will get better than a 1. Next week, we're going to read Bomb Queen, Volume 1.
Yeah.
This is the name of the trade is Woman of Mass Destruction. It collects issues 1-4 of Bomb Queen. These are from 2006. They were printed by Shadowline. And they are written... Are they written and drawn or just written by Jimmy Robinson? I don't know. But David's explained the premise and it sounds pretty fun. And it's... I'm happy to get away from witches and magic and get back to, like, villains and heroes. And it's going to be interesting. So Bomb Queen is next week. If you want to see what we have coming up after that, go to www.atomicpiratesupercast.com. And if our web host hasn't suspended our account for the 5th time this month, you'll be able to click on a button on the right that says Future Shows, and you'll see what we have coming up next week and maybe the next 4, 5, 8 weeks after that. If you have a suggestion on what we should be reading, give us an email at
atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Or you can let us know on facebook.com/absupercast or twitter.com/absupercast. And if you want to see some really cool tarot fan art, go to apsupercast.tumblr.com. And now that I've committed it, I have to find it. I'm going to have to go on DeviantArt and look for tarot fan art. This is going to be a fun... I have to do this at home because there's no way I can do it at work. And as always, please subscribe to us on...
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Finished.
Ugh.
Again, disgusted sigh.